Hey, what's up? This is John Lewis from the band Highland, and you're listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent. Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Hey everybody, this is Jason DeZurich. You're hanging out with me at Sunshine Fest. And I'm hanging out with Tobin from Flatfoot 56. Glad he's here. How you doing, Tobin?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I really am, and I just appreciate your ministry so much. And I interviewed you a few years ago, but it's really an honor. I love your ministry, so.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate
it. Absolutely. You know, let's just jump into it regarding your new music, and then we can talk about some stories with the band and stuff, okay? The new album's called Toil. And how's that going? I mean, has it been received well?
It's been great so far. People have been enjoying it. Everybody I've talked to has been really stoked about what they've heard and seen. It's already out on Spotify, so people can hear the whole thing already. So, but yeah, it's been going really well.
Okay. That's awesome. And so people are receiving it well when it's being played live.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People are.
Great. Now, we were talking earlier regarding the band and things like that. And the sad thing is, Cornerstone went down this year, and my hands over my heart. It's sad. It's what happened with that? Do you know anything?
I just think that for years it's been dealing with a lot of like financial struggles and trying to keep going and dwindling numbers. And some different decisions being made kind of made it more difficult to keep going. So it was kind of the home festival for us, being from Illinois and being kind of a punk rock band. It's like one of the few festivals that had a lot of punk rock references and influences in it, so we're kind of the odd man out in a lot of festivals we play. So it was the one place where there was a bunch of bands that played that were punk, you know. So as I was saying earlier, like, it seems like God opens up doors, and whenever things change, we as humans don't like change, but when it does change, it seems that God is really in my life. It's always seemed that he's really challenging me to step up in areas that I haven't realized I needed to. And I think that's the first thing that as a believer I'm starting to learn is that it can be very easy to forget that God is requiring me to grow and not just stay where I'm at. And how does he do that? Sometimes he takes away the things that are comfort zones for us just to make us step out of them a little bit more.
You know, with that, I wanted to ask, what scriptures, because some people would say, well, with God, our life should be great and safe. And so what scriptures, because I completely agree with you, but for you, what scriptures do you lean on with that as far as when you're going through those tough trials of saying, not saying, God, why have you left me? It's, God, why have you put me in this position to learn? What do you lean on?
There's a verse that actually I have inscribed on the back of one of my guitars. It's Hebrews 10:39, I believe. Yeah, it's been a while. But the scripture says, and we are not of those that shrink back and are destroyed, but believe and are saved. And if the Christian life was all about being, you know, prosperous only and just all these good things, God blessing us with only good things, that verse would never be found in the Bible, because you would never be in a situation where you could be destroyed. And so it's very difficult, you know, like to make an argument for that if you actually read the Word of God. Don't get me wrong, God brings blessing, but not in the way that we think he brings blessing all the time. Sometimes he just floors us with gifts that are amazing, but that's not why you're a Christian. And if you're waiting for those to be the pinnacle of your faith, you're going to be waiting a long time, and I think you'll probably drop off quicker if that's what your focus is. It's a wrong message, and I don't think it's biblical. I think it's wrong.
All right, so this year, 2012... We talked earlier, you said it's been a tough year. As how have you seen God in that tough year work?
As I said before, I want to make sure I make this clear. Like, God is faithful, and he definitely walks with us. But I think for us to stand there and say bad things are happening because God's trying to judge you, or because there's something that you're doing wrong all the time, I think that's a false statement, and it takes a lot of soul searching to realize what God's trying to say in situations. At times he does do that, but that's not the only reason why bad things happen. God allows things in our life to grow. God, my dad's favorite quote to us as kids was always, God's not interested in your comfort, he's interested in your character. that was the same thing he would use when saying about him too. I'm not interested in how comfortable you are. I'm interested about the character that you're being built, that's being built in you. And that's important to remember, because we get so caught up in what do I want? What are my needs, God? What makes me feel comfortable? What makes me feel happy? And this year I've been really challenged. It's been a hard year in a lot of different ways. A lot of comfort zones have been pulled from me in my life, and things are a little shakier when it comes to a few things that have always been very consistent. And God has remained faithful in huge ways, and in ways that I never even imagined. When I was asking God, why is this stuff happening? Am I not in your will? Am I not following right? What's going on? He comes back with blessing. It's weird. Like, it's kind of like, I'm going to take away all the things that you can lay claim to as a person and things that you've done, and I'm going to give you things that you can't explain that only I can get the credit for, because it's about me. And that's what God's point is. And I think it's really important as a Christian to understand that. Is it may sound selfish from a person's perspective who doesn't know the Lord, but he is the God who created me and gave me life. And if I'm not glorifying him, I'm not doing what God's created me to do. The cool thing about Jesus and the God that I serve is that it's all about me doing it with a whole heart, a heart that desires to give him glory, not just because I'm forced to do it, but because he's so good. And if you read Psalm and Proverbs, mostly Psalms, David talks a ton about being in this situation that's difficult, but then he turns it around and always says, but you are faithful, God, and you never let me down. You never let my enemies actually win over me. They may win a battle here or there, but they're not going to win the war here. And you may use them to hone me and shape me and mold me, but I know that my ultimate victory lies in you. And that's the joy of being a follower of Christ. That's why we follow him. We don't seek his hand, we seek his face, and we walk with him in that. So,
okay. Now with that, you talked about David, and that's awesome, because you're right. He was like, okay, my enemies. You know, he was very open and bold of go after them. You know, we live under the new covenant now, and so how do we take that? Because we have an enemy. So as Christians, you know, for your own life, how do you, deal with that enemy? How do you go after him? Or is it, some people say people are our enemy. I don't believe that. But, you know, what do you say to people like who would say that, number one? But how do we deal with the enemy?
I think to realize the tricks of the trade of the enemy, to realize that his number one goal is to distract us. That his number one goal is to keep us busy, to keep us in a comfort zone sometimes. Not that we should seek to have a messed up life or struggle all the time. That's not what God would want us to do. But I think when God allows us to be tempted, it's an important thing. I have a friend, you know, it's a good analogy. I had a friend who had a son, and his little son, tiny little kid, wanted to play football. And this kid, tiny kid, but he was like, I want to play football, Dad. I want to play football. And so his dad was like, okay, well, let's play football. And for game after game, all they did was come together, and this kid would get pushed everywhere. And one day the dad walked up to the kid and was just like, okay, face off with me. We're gonna work on this. And when the kid would get down on his haunches and the dad would say, hike, the kid would run at him, and the dad would just push him over. And the kid got up and he started crying. He's like, why'd you do that? You know, and he's like, do it again. And he did this for about five times until the kid was just in tears and going, why would you push me over? Why? What is wrong with you? Why would you do this? I'm your son. You know, you're supposed to love me. And he's like, I'm teaching you how to play this game. You can't survive in this game if you don't know how to play it. And this is how you play it. I'm teaching you how to be tough and how to listen to my advice. Because that's the way that this works. And sometimes we think life is just running around with the ball, you know, scoring touchdowns with no opposition. And so to realize that the enemy's number one goal is to distract us and get us almost glazed over in a comfort zone is a really important part to winning the battle and understanding. And to realize that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities of powers in high places, you know, that things that things that attack us, Satan knows he's lost. And that's the thing that I think every Christian needs to walk with and understand, is we do not serve a God that is a loser. He definitely knows, and he's working everything out. But he also desires a relationship with his people and people out there for us to be able to witness to. And so I think that's an important thing. So how do I seek that and understand, like, number one, I can't overcome sin on my own. The very element of my nature is sinful. As a human being, I fail and I fall. The only salvation I have for staying away from sin is to be close to the one who's sinless, is to seek after him and try to emulate, to be like him, to practice and train with him in this game of life, you know. And I fail at that. There's a lot of days I miss my, you know, getting away with the Lord and praying, and there's a lot of times where I strike out at my guys in the van because I get tired of them, and, you know, I fail, and it's really hard. But at the same time, God walks with me on a daily basis, and he walks with a lot of the guys that are playing here. It's awesome to see all these Christian bands. They're just loving people where they're at. So I think being a Christian that walks and listens to the Spirit according to how the Spirit leads, not how our duty tells us to act, but how the Spirit leads us to speak, is really important. And that's how God wins battles.
I think that's incredible. We have a lot of people that aren't Christians that actually listen to the show and stuff. And, you know, for those people, you know, what would you say to them to let them know we're letting them know we know you're not our enemy and we love you?
Well, Flatfoot spends probably about 90% of our time around people that aren't Christians. And we're going to our tour tomorrow again with some guys that I love desperately. Man, these guys are awesome. They're rad people. And they're not my enemy. And none of them believe in God, or very few of them do. And but at the same time, like, I think love, that's what Jesus taught. It's what, and when it's done in the right way, people can't argue with true love and what it really means. There's a big difference between love and an agenda. I'm not called to be a Christian with an agenda, a suicide mission of jamming my faith down somebody's throat. I'm called to be a testimony, to give a testimony, to be a witness for the Lord, to tell people what I've seen, because that can't be questioned. It's been my experience, what I've seen, and nobody can say you didn't see that because they weren't there. You know, they don't know what I've seen. If they don't want to accept that, I love you. I pray that God reveals himself to you, but I can just tell people that I've experienced a relationship. I've experienced God. I can't make them experience it if they don't want to. And I'm going to love them through whatever they decide. You know, that's what I'm called to do.
Yeah, I talk to people like that over there, like, well, you can't prove God exists. And I'll be like, well, I know he's real because I have a relationship with him. And I respect you. I'd ask maybe, could you respect me too? And some do, some don't. And I love them through it, you know? Yeah. Do you deal with stuff like that?
All the time, yeah. I have a lot of friends who are atheists, and there is very few people in the world who are as preachy, even more so than Christians, than atheists. And I love them to death. You know, I've known them for years, and they're really good people. And I think underneath all of the griping and complaining about religion that they do, they still have a good heart. And they do have a heart to, everybody's got pet peeves. Everyone's got things that annoy them. And some of us show those pet peeves more than others. But at the same time, Christ died for them, just the same that he died for me, whether they want to believe that he exists or not. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I'm not called to be a Christian who walks around in arrogance. That's what Jesus came and challenged the most, was the Pharisees who were arrogant. It's to walk around in humility, knowing that my God has saved me, but only by his grace. And I did nothing to deserve that.
Amen.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.